Good morning, everyone. I'm Daehoo Jung, currently working at Samsung Electronics in Korea, and all of the authors are affiliated with Sungkyunkwan University in Korea. The topic of this talk is how to improve the overall responsiveness of modern-day mobile devices under intensive I/O pressure. Let's start with showing you a simple multitasking scenario for an Android phone. A user is copying a large size of file and presses the home button to return back to the home screen. Now he can perform another job while copying the file. And then our user touches the contacts apps icon to find his friend's email address. But his smartphone doesn't respond to his request for a long time, and he'll finally get upset. Eventually, the contacts apps UI shows up. However, by our measurement, the contacts app start time is rapidly increased with lots of variation. So where does this kind of delay come from? Is this delay caused by a shortage of CPU resources? No, we have sufficient numbers of CPU cores for performing these two jobs simultaneously. Is this related to memory shortages? No, the delay from the PGL claim is insignificant in this case. Through our extensive investigation, we found that most of file system cores of the contacts app experience a large amount of unexpected delay under heavy I/O pressure. And surprisingly, the root cause of this delay turned out to be an asynchronous I/O, not even synchronous I/O. We chose to call this asynchronous I/O quasi-asynchronous I/O. Before introducing this kind of I/O, I want to remind you about the existing I/O scheduling policy in Linux kernel. Basically, Linux classifies all the I/Os into sync or async I/O because a task can be blocked waiting for the completion of synchronous I/O. The CFQ I/O scheduler gives a higher priority to synchronous I/O for better responsiveness. The following is how it typically happens in most scenarios. The CFQ I/O scheduler maintains lots of internal queues and gives each queue a limited time slice. But sync queues get larger time slices than async queues, and most asynchronous I/O requests even have to share the smaller time slices. In addition, the CFQ I/O scheduler limits the number of asynchronous requests that can be dispatched depending on the situation. Above all, a newly inserted synchronous I/O can preempt other asynchronous requests. This has worked reasonably well until now, but is this ultimately enough? Our answer is no. Imagine an I/O intensive situation when one or more tasks are writing large amounts of data asynchronously. The newly generated 30 pages stay in the page cache for a while to maximize the effect of I/O buffering. When the number of 30 pages exceeds the background 30 ratio, most of the 30 pages are flushed out as asynchronous I/O by a k-worker as soon as they are made dirty in the page cache. Finally, the request queue is filled up with asynchronous I/Os, and these requests will be processed one by one in the order of increasing sector number to maximize I/O throughput. So where does our quasi-asynchronous I/O come into play? In spite of the nature of asynchronous I/Os, which any task wouldn't wait for its completion, what if a task is waiting for the completion of the asynchronous I/O in the rest position of the request queue? The asynchronous I/O will delay the execution of task like the synchronous I/O does. We define this kind of asynchronous I/O as quasi-asynchronous I/O, quasio. Quasio is issued asynchronously but should be treated as synchronous I/O. And quasio can be detected only at runtime, unlike sync and async I/O. Also, it makes the foreground task blocked for an unexpected amount of time, and this problem is similar to the priority inversion problem. This is the definition of quasio. So up to this point, I have introduced a new type of I/O. From here, I'll explain how a task can have dependency on quasio and how severe the delay by the dependencies is. Towards the end, I will demonstrate our solutions overview, and finally, the evaluation results. Now you know what quasio is. And then you may want to know the answer to how can a task have dependency on quotient. This is one of the most important parts of our work, and we found the answer by the thorough exploration of Linux source codes and lots of profiling. We found that each task can have direct or even an indirect dependency on quotient. We have also publicized all the different types of quotient dependencies. There are 4 direct dependencies and 2 indirect dependencies. Because we have limited time today, please refer to our paper for the details of all types of dependency. Here I will explain some of them with detailed use cases. The first use case is concerned with starting apps or interacting with the app's UI. When an app's UI shows up or a user interacts with the UI screen in the Android platform, the app invokes several file system calls to update each state saved in SQLite databases or XML file. I will explain the delay which an app experiences in a single file system call under intensive IO workload. First, a bulky IO task, which is copying a large file or downloading lots of data through fast connectivity, makes numerous dirty pages. And a key worker thread wakes up in order to prevent memory from being occupied by too many dirty pages and pushes out those dirty pages as asynchronous IO requests. The request queue will be full of these asynchronous IOs. And a metadata buffer, which was modified in the previous run, is changed into a dirty state in order to be checkpointed after each journal commit. It has one of the metadata listed on the screen. This metadata buffer is also flushed out immediately and locked by kworker. When a user launches an app like Context, the app is accompanied by a series of file system calls. Finally, the app invokes several file system calls before showing its UI. The invoked file system calls will attempt to modify the metadata buffer, which is being written back. So it will fail and be put in wait state. We call this kind of dependency demeta dependency. Next, I want to introduce another direct dependency related to AppSync, which is frequently used in the Android platform. Normally, when you use an AppSync system call, you have to write data to be synced using a write system call in advance to AppSync system call. And by invoking AppSync system call, dirty pages written from the previous write system call will be flushed out as synchronous I/O. In this case, the I/O will be processed with a higher priority than other asynchronous I/Os. Normally, this is what we expect from any AppSync operation. However, what happens to AppSync operation under intensive I/O pressure? Here is the same precondition. As you can imagine, a UI task uses a write system call in order to recode its own data, but the 30 pages of the task are immediately flushed out as asynchronous IO by kworker under heavy IO load. The task invokes AppSync to flush out the buffered data as synchronous IO, but all the data was already flushed out through asynchronous IO. And the task should wait until the completion of all the IOs of not only the file's data, but also most of the IO that are queued up in the request queue. We call this dependency desync dependency. Unlike what we expected from AppSync, when a large file is being written in the background, the desync dependency causes a large amount of delay of AppSync. Lastly, this is a more complex use case representing an indirect quotient dependency. We start with a similar precondition. Let's say task A writes data in 1 kilobyte size. This is a partial page write. This partially written page is also driven out from the memory when the I/O pressure builds up intensely. Our task A tries to write in the remaining part of the page once again. Before that, it obtains a journal handle of running transaction for the metadata modification after the data writing. Finally, the task tries to copy its data to the page, but the page is on the right back, and the task needs to wait for the completion of the I/O. This is a D-data dependency, and this affects other task execution in an indirect way. After a certain period of time, the running transaction starts to be committed, and the transaction will be locked because a handle is still opened by the task A. Under this condition, all the other tasks cannot obtain a new journal handle because the running transaction is locked. It means that all the file system calls cannot proceed anymore, and this causal dependency broadly affects the system. We call this kind of dependency IJ handle dependency. Of course, the latest disabling stable page patch allows data pages to be updated while they are under the write-back situation and eliminates D-data dependency. But this can be unacceptable again in future mobile devices because the hardware-supported encryption of I/O is seriously being considered as a way of performance optimization. The next question is, how severe is the delay caused by Quasio? It depends on how many requests are ahead of Quasio in the request queue. The number of outstanding requests for mobile devices is expected to only rise and stay that way in the future because the connectivity speed will continue to increase and smartphone will process many jobs simultaneously with multitasking, even multi-window mode. Aside from that, the underlying storage device's I/O performance has to be also considered when estimating the worst-case cautious delay. On one of the latest smartphones, Samsung Galaxy S5, the worst-case latency of a single file system call by Quasio takes over 1 whole second. The slower the I/O performance is, the longer the worst-case delay is. On a product using slower TLC-based eMMC, the worst-case latency even takes more than 4 seconds. We also expect the I/O performance of mobile devices can be more degraded as using TLC-based eMMC for the low cost. So the cautious delay will be getting worse as well. These figures show that how much degraded real-life scenarios are by the cautious delay. The right sidebar on each figure represents the app performance under intensive I/O workload. As you can see, all the performance are adversely affected, and most of the degradations are from the cautious delay. The context app start time is slowed down by a factor of 2.4 in the worst case. The biggest part of the worst case app start time is derived by over 1 second of the cautious delay. You can also see the severe variation of the app start time. This kind of fluctuation in performance will be noticed by the users who will definitely not appreciate it at all. The second figure is about the continuous high-speed shooting mode in the camera. The shot count is also decreased by 19%. In the final figure, Angry Birds app install time, excluding app downloading time over the network, is increased by 35%. And then, how can you reduce the cautious delay? Our solution is boosting cautious. How can you boost cautious? We focus on only direct dependency, not indirect dependencies. Because if we leave the problem from direct dependencies, the problem related to indirect dependency will be automatically taken care of. Finally, we define 2 requirements to boost the cautious. First, if a task is blocked waiting for the completion of an asynchronous I/O, the I/O is definitely cautious. So the information about the cautious should be transferred to the I/O scheduler. Second, the I/O scheduler should prioritize a cautious in its own queues based on the received information. The first requirement is for BFSMM, the specific file system like EXT4, and the block layer. And it should be implemented across these layers. The second requirement should be properly implemented in each I/O scheduler, and we selected the CFQ I/O scheduler for our pilot solution. This is our implementation overview. We found all the functions waiting for an I/O to be completed in the kernel, and added some cautious detection algorithm in there. The key of this algorithm is that it first checks whether the buffer head or the page is submitted as asynchronous I/O, and if the I/O is identified as asynchronous I/O, it extracts the sector number from that and sends the sector number to the I/O scheduler through the block layer. And then the I/O scheduler will search the I/O involving the sector number. Actually, all the asynchronous I/Os in Linux kernel are flushed out by kVorker only. So the CFQ-IO scheduler gathers all the IOs, asynchronous I/Os into a single internal queue. In that queue, all the I/Os are managed in the red block tree data structure. So we traverse the red block tree and look for the I/O request, which includes the received sector number. And if the request is found, it will be inserted into the quotient list. Finally, whenever an asynchronous CFQ is selected for dispatching a request, we check the quotient list first and then dispatch quotient requests, if any. You can also refer to our paper for more detailed description about our solution and corner cases. So how much improvement does our solution bring to the file system call latency? This is our test environment, and we evaluated using three different test methods, in-house micro benchmarks, real-life scenarios, and well-known Android I/O benchmarks. We made five benchmarks with different combinations of file system calls frequently used in the Android platform. For example, the M1 benchmark iterates the test 500 times. In each iteration, M1 opens the same file with create system call, and then writes 4 kilobytes of data to the file. Finally, it performs fsync and closes the file. Note that this micro benchmark mimics the I/O patterns of the SQLite database system. We executed all the benchmarks for lots of iterations under heavy I/O pressure. As you can see, the total elapsed time of each test is largely reduced up to 83.1%. The reason for this improvement is that the worst case latency of each file system call is drastically reduced by our solution. In real-time scenarios, the context FSR time is reduced by up to 44.8% and returned close to the FSR time without heavy I/O workload. The waiting times in kernel waiting functions for DMATA and DDiscard are reduced by 96.1% and 87.4%. Let's look at the burst shot performance in the camera. The shot count is also improved by 14.4%, and the most of improvement is achieved by the reduction of total wait time of D data. The Angry Birds install time is also improved by 11.5%. Finally, for the Android I/O benchmarks, Antutu and Arelbench, all the scores are also suffering under intensive I/O pressure. But with our solution, the two scores are recovered by 10.2% and 17.1%. An interesting observation is that boosting quotients improves the performance of Antutu by about 12%, even when there is no asynchronous I/Os in the background. This means Antutu itself issues plenty of asynchronous I/Os, and its performance was already being affected by quotients. In conclusion, we introduced a new type of I/O, quotient, and our novel scheme to detect and boost quotients for minimizing file system call latency. In our evaluation, the worst case latency of a file system call and worst case FSR time improved. For future work, we are planning to continue investigating on other types of systems, including server environments and low-end mobile systems. We will further fine-tune our solution, separately optimized for each quotient dependency type. Thank you for your time today. If you have any questions, please ask. Thank you.
Hi, this is Amit Good from Tintri. So did you have a chance to compare the optimization that you have with something like all the async IO have the same priority as async IO? What would that look like?
Excuse
me? So if we treat async IO with the same priority as the synchronous IO?
Yes. You mean synchronous IO preempt other asynchronous IO?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So how would that look like versus the optimization that you have?
Do
you
have what is the difference from that?
Yes. In that?
Actually, we defined a new type of IO, Quasio. This is a more urgent IO among the asynchronous IO. So we select the special type of IO from all the asynchronous IO, and then we boost that.
Okay. Okay, maybe I'll take this offline. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Do you have any comparison of not using the CFQ IO scheduler and just using the NoOp IO scheduler and thus not even introducing the latencies for the async IO that you're mitigating here?
I can't hear you.
Is this better?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so do you have numbers that compare a setup that's not using the CFQ IO scheduler but the NoOp one, which basically does not delay IO? Because in that case, the async IOs will not actually get delayed and wouldn't need to be mitigated.
You mean, did I try the other IO scheduler?
Yes, and specifically the NoOp one, which does no IO scheduling.
Noob or something else IO scheduler? I didn't try, but I will try those in the future work.